So welcome to episode 7 of Pluto and the Mundane, a podcast where we investigate what Pluto returns look like and how this energy shapes history, nations, and empires. My name is Augustina Cartagena, and I will be your guide for this exploration of astrology. As always, I like to start these episodes out with a quick little intro. Hopefully I'll get shorter and shorter, but why do I want to look at Pluto returns and oppositions, really? It's because they're so rare. And when we're talking about astrological events, rare events are something that we need to be paid attention to because they will have that much more power, so to speak, or influence, or over the nations, rather. Well, that being said, let's just start right out. So I was looking at the Spanish Empire, and this one was kind of tricky because I had to decide where to start this. I could have started this with the marriage of Isabella de Castillo and Fernando de Aragon. They were known as Catholic monarchs, and they're the foundation of the Spanish Empire, which, by the way, I find that to be beautiful. The Spanish colonial empire in general, not pretty, not beautiful, not really something to be admired, but that symbolic foundation for a vast empire is really cool because both of the Catholic monarchs, as they were known, they were married and were joint rulers, but each of them had control over their country. Because this is before Spain really became Spain. Spain became Spain because of the Catholic monarchs here. I'm calling them the Catholic monarchs because every source that I found called them that. Because after them, you have a different sort of line that's still related to them, that isn't them, that takes over. So what I ultimately decided on when it came to the beginning of the Spanish Empire, I settled on the completion of the Reconquista by Isabella de Castillo and Fernando de Aragon. The Reconquista, showing how they took back control of the Spanish area from the Moorish influence, and Moorish influence are Muslims. The end of the Reconquista is defined by the surrender of Granada to the Catholic monarchs on January 2nd, 1492. So that's what I'm choosing as the birth date for the Spanish Empire. You might recall that date sounds similar. 1492, if I remember correctly, someone sailed the ocean blue. But I will definitely get to that because that actually really plays a significant role when you look at the birth chart. It's kind of funny in a slightly horrifying way. So one of the things I really wanted to note really quickly is that the sun here is in Capricorn. That's not particularly important. What I wanted to highlight was just how the Ottoman and the Tang dynasty, both of them had the sun in Gemini, which seemed to signal a tolerance to a lot of different religions and ideals, which is heavily contrasted with the sun in Capricorn. So with the sun in Capricorn, the sun meaning the monarchs, aristocracy, heads of state, and Capricorn is very much concerned about like national prestige, according to the correlations that you find in mundane astrology. What's interesting about the national prestige thing here is that the very same year that they had Granada surrender to them, they commissioned Christopher Columbus to find a quicker route to the West Indies, and thereby accidentally discovering, in air quotes, because America was not discovered by Christopher Columbus, it was just exploited by Christopher Columbus first in the name of the Spanish monarchs. And this was really as a way to bring prestige to Spanish power, but not just Spanish power, it's really Catholic power. That is what they considered their prestige from what I've been able to see. They were called the Catholic monarchs for a reason. And going further onto that, as soon as they had completed the Reconquista, they had told the Jewish populations that they had conquered prior to this that they were going to be free to practice their own religion. And famously, the Spanish Empire was not down with that and had forced conversions that didn't really take, and or Jewish people would have to face violence. Jewish people in Europe kind of really got shafted pretty consistently. It's rough to really learn how consistently the Jewish people were prosecuted in Western Europe. And of course, we all know the culmination of that in the World War II concentration camps. So, yeah, moving on from that, they, and it was also the Muslim people who did end up staying in Spain eventually did leave. After a couple of riots and rebellions that were quickly quelled by the Spanish monarchs, Muslim people decided to leave and seek refuge elsewhere because they weren't able to practice their faith freely in Spanish Catholic-controlled Spain. That's a pretty short little focus on the sun, but I really, the overarching theme with that is that I really want to emphasize that idea of prestige being Catholicism. I mean, Spanish prestige as well, but it's specifically Spanish Catholicism, not Spanish anything else or any kind of tolerant tradition. It was a strictly Catholic power, and that's what they wanted to spread throughout Europe and the world, really. Not so much Europe, but definitely the world. Okay, so that's the sun. The moon. I think I'm going to stop really trying to see the moon in these nation charts just because the moon represents the common people and crowds and all of that stuff. But the moon also travels very quickly across the sky. You're only going to have the moon in one sign from like 2 to 3 days. And right here, I got January 2nd. That's a pretty accurate date for the fall of Granada. But the problem is, so the moon here is at late degrees. So even in a few hours, it would have moved into Pisces. And that gives you two different definitions on what the common people are. It would actually make sense more for the moon to be in Pisces because Catholicism was such a heavy influence on common people's day-to-day lives during this time period. But because I've been using 12 o'clock, because there's no actual set time, I don't really want to change it. So that's one reason I'm probably going to stop looking for the role of common people in these societies or the lives of common people in these societies. And another reason why I don't want to look at it is because it takes so much time. There's never really any reliable source on what the lives of common people were. Up until very recently, like the last 100 years or so, and even then, when you're looking at the stories of minorities and historically persecuted people, we only really begin recording their stories in like the 60s and 70s. Before that, it was all about what the aristocrats were doing, what the people in power were doing. No one really gave a damn about what was going on at the bottom rungs of the hierarchical structures that we were part of. So that's really frustrating. And it just sucks a lot of time out of the research and ultimately it just gets frustrated. So I think I'm just going to discontinue that. Like for this one, I couldn't find anything. I tried, but there's not much. The only thing I could really remember was a vague snippet of information from a History of California class I took back in college. And I don't remember the title even to search that up. So it would just be from memory. And from memory, their lives weren't that great. I mean, peasants. So peasant lives weren't easy in general. So that's my thing about the moon now. In general, the moon is dope. Just FYI. But when you're looking at straight mundane astrology and trying to find historical records about common people, this sucks. All right. So moving on, we got the sun, we got the moon, now we're going to Mercury. So Mercury here is in Capricorn, once again. So the strict correlation in mundane astrology would be the literary world, which is not necessarily related to art, but just like your thinkers and philosophers and stuff like that. And publishers, trade, commerce are focused on national prestige. So what was really interesting is I found here is that after Christopher Columbus found the New World, quote unquote, the New World, and then the next year there was the first colony in the New World that was settled where he landed. After that, the empire spread rapidly and Isabella and Fernando began professionalizing and expanding government opportunities. So like they added a viceroyalship. It's a similar thing to a president and then a vice president. You have the royalty and then you have the viceroyalty. And they created these positions out of whole cloth. The Spanish area didn't really have, well, for one thing, they weren't really unified until Isabella and Fernando. And then after that, they just created titles out of whatever. So that was just like another thing that I found kind of really interesting and to make a note. I wouldn't know where to put it. Note. Maybe that belongs more under Venus than under Mercury, but they did just create titles out of whole cloth. So these people that Isabella and Fernando commissioned to deal with the ever-expanding needs of an overseas empire, they started commissioning men of letters, which is basically just educated people. So you have like MDs, PhDs, EDDs. Those are, you can say, those are letters, right? After, to show what education you got, that was exactly what this was. It's a similar concept. Not exactly like a one-to-one correlation, but pretty good. It's analogous. For one thing, the creation of the new aristocratic titles increased Spanish prestige by a lot, because now they were comparable to the big powers of the time, France, Italy, England. They all had robust aristocratic and royal identities, and Spain now had created it from whole cloth and were now part of the adult table, I guess, in Western Europe. That seems a little bit insulting for people who don't sit at the adult table, but that was the best analogy I could find. Okay, so Mercury in Capricorn. We've got the Sun in Capricorn. And guess what? We also have Venus in Capricorn here. So with this, we're looking at the arts having a focus on national prestige. And so because specifically this is about the birth of the Spanish Empire and Spanish colonialism, essentially, I'm really going to focus on Spanish colonial art for this. Here, I'm just going to read this, a little bit of this article by the Arts of the Spanish Americas from 1550 to 1850. By Joanna Hecht. She's at the Metropolitan Museum. The arts that evolved in Spanish viceroyalties of New Spain and Peru were from the beginnings in the 16th century very different from those of the much younger North American colonies. Unlike the iconoclastic culture of the Protestant settlers of our nation, derived from England and Northern Europe, the Iberian culture transferred to the Americas was one of which both image making and the decorative arts were deeply intertwined with the state of religion of Roman Catholicism. Thus, in Latin America, the church not only exerted enormous power over the lives of the European and indigenous peoples, but also, through its patronage, profoundly influenced the nature of the visual arts in these regions. And I wanted to really highlight how it's, again, that Catholic viewpoint really emphasized it, influenced all of the art around there. I remember, so I'm from Panama, and I remember when I was a kid, buses there, they've changed a lot now. Now they're like proper, quote unquote, proper buses. But when I was a kid, all of the buses from going anywhere were heavily decorated, and they were always heavily decorated with Catholic imagery, saint imagery. And I really liked it because it gave me something to stare at when I was taking the bus when I was a kid. But it's not very like professional looking. And I know that in Mexico, Catholic art is, it's changing now, like the later part of the, now in like the 20th century or so. But before then, it's just Catholic imagery everywhere. That was the art. But what was nice is that it also did mix with the native indigenous people's ideas. It still ended up being heavily Catholic because of the mission system that popped up, which I will get to later. So I think that really fits. Because again, that prestige that the Catholic monarchs wanted to spread was Spanish Catholicism. And this fits in right with it. Venus, another associate correlation with Venus in mundane astrology, is women's rights, women's roles in societies, and what women could expect from society, really. It's not great. I mean, who's surprised here? Prior to the 20th century, like, it just changes all of the time how much power women have. But in general, when you're talking about civilization, for the most part, women, at least in Western civilization, women just have not had a whole lot of, like, power. Hopefully we're moving past it. Hopefully we don't go back. But in order to really show what the expectations of women were during the society, let me just read this little paragraph from The Perfect Wife published in 1583 by Luis de León. This text, based on Proverbs 31, explains the expectations of a good Christian wife. These expectations centered on the support of the woman given to her husband by maintaining a pure and productive household and busying herself with work that would continually improve her honor and prestige of the household. She would achieve this through kind and gentle productivity. Again, the role of women in the society was really to bring prestige to the country, to the home. And the way you did that was by being a good Catholic wife. Because again, Catholicism is the prestige that the Catholic monarchs were trying to spread. I don't like it. In case you couldn't tell, but it's history. We find a lot of things we don't like when we study history. That's why we should study it, so that we can recognize what it looks like when it pops up again. Okay, so we've looked at the sun, the moon, Mercury, Venus, and now let's go to Mars. So this one I'm going to do a little bit different, because I want to look at this Mars and Saturn conjunction in Aquarius. This is really interesting because in mundane astrology, Saturn also really represents epidemics. And with the conjunction, when you're looking at conjunctions on the astrological chart, you're seeing that the two energies that the planets represent are really almost indistinguishable from each other. They work together. They work in conjunction with each other. It's pretty straightforward. If you're aware of Spanish history, you are aware of how the conquistadores brought a lot of disease to the New World. Enough that most accurate estimates that I've seen is that 80 to 90% of the original indigenous population were killed off by the diseases that were brought by Western imperial powers. And it really started off with Spain. North America didn't really see that kind of die-off until the 1600s, when England made its way over to North America. We're talking Central and South America, you're looking at the 1500s. These were whole ass empires that were around, with populations that are able to support empires, in the Inca, in the Maya, with the Aztecs, these different groups of people. And they weren't conquered simply because the conquistadores were so powerful with their gunpowder. I mean, they were, but if you're talking about defending yourself for your freedom versus someone who's going to force you to do all the stuff that the Spaniards ended up doing to the indigenous populations, hell yeah, you're gonna fight. And if you're a trained warrior, you can dodge some bullets, especially since bullets at the time, muskets at that time, weren't exactly the most accurate thing. You're still looking at hand-to-hand combat being very important when you're talking about war. It was really disease that did in these civilizations of the New World. So I just really wanted to highlight that. And it's the fact that it's in Aquarius is interesting, because last week I was really emphasizing how Aquarius is a sign of community and friendship and that kind of thing. This time you're looking at the dark side of Aquarius, right? It's about instilling hierarchies. Instead of everyone being equal in that humanitarian sense, it's about doing like the opposite of that, pulling almost from, like, it's hypocritical. It ends up becoming a very hypocritical kind of energy. And here I think that really works out. Destruction of communities instead of building up, destruction of friendships instead of building it up. That kind of destruction and decimation of populations happened the entire time of the empire. So I think that fits. Got Mars and Saturn out of the way, and now we're just going to look at Jupiter and Pluto. So let's start with Jupiter. Jupiter, if you're looking at mundane astrology, its religious, judicial, and bureaucratic systems are focused on land, housing, and agriculture. So here, I really want to highlight the mission system. The mission system was Spanish funding Catholic missionaries to build monasteries, to build missions, which were like these hacienda ranch type organizations that were run by the church, essentially, but funded by Spanish wealth extraction of the Americas. How messed up is it, by the way, that the resource exploitation of your land by foreigners is funding the oppressive system that is keeping you in slavery, essentially? But man, the cruelties of colonialism will never cease to amaze me. So, and in the mission systems, like I mentioned, it was a very ranchero, hacienda type of thing. So the local indigenous populations would be pressed into being part of these missions, and in the missions, mostly they focused on making hides, making agricultural byproducts. A lot of it was animal fats, animal hides, food to feed the local population, and candle making actually was a big one as well. It wasn't even anything very fancy. It wasn't like your textiles or anything like that, but just basic resources that were being shipped to the Spanish Empire. And the Spanish Empire was really trying to keep all of that trade within themselves. They didn't want any of their stuff going into the rest of Europe. That's what they were trying to do. That's just kind of interesting how they were trying to keep all that wealth to themselves. And cancer does tend to cloister about a little bit. So that's not a specific association with mundane astrology and cancer, but it's, it's a little interesting. Little addendum. Another thing I wanted to highlight is that in the nation chart for the Spanish Empire, Jupiter is trine to the natal Pluto in Scorpio. Trines in astrology in general, you're looking at an easy flow of energy, basically showing that these two signs work together well. Let's go over a quick overview of what Pluto and Scorpio is. So Pluto, we're talking about transformative powers, powers of extreme regeneration, extreme destruction, breakdown, fall. It's a messy planet, beautifully messy, necessary, really, because that's how you grow. That's how nations grow. That's how people grow. That's how civilizations and cultures grow. It's not pleasant to have a Plutonian process happen to you or experience it, but it is necessary. So here, it's interesting, because when you're looking at Scorpio is talking about financial relations with other countries, and the Spanish Empire really kicked off the need for slaves, indigenous slaves, but you also see the importation of African slaves begin during this time. A few decades after the beginning of this, but you see the slavery of indigenous peoples pretty immediately. Scorpio energy can be very similar to 8th house energy. In 8th house, there's a correlation with bonding. There's that a correlation with bonding. So when you're looking at this trine between the Catholic mission system working nicely together with this Plutonian energy of breakdown in foreign relations, what's more of a breakdown in foreign relations than you meet a new group of people and you immediately put them into slavery, make them do the dirty work that you don't want to do? That's a complete breakdown, not a regeneration. So there's no light side to this Plutonian aspect. But in general, when you look at the Spanish Empire and the reach that it had, and the effects that it had on civilization, it's pretty damn dark. So we're not going to really see a lot of light aspects to the Spanish Empire. This particular episode is much darker than looking at the other empires. Other empires, there's always been kind of like a fun aspect to it, just because there hasn't been like horrible systemic oppression. The Spanish Empire kicked off colonialism. Colonialism is a horrible, traumatic experience for everyone who was ruled by a colonial power that the world is still healing from. Like, during the decade of my birth, we had the Rwandan genocide. That was a straight up result of the British not caring about leaving the area of Rwanda after they had completely destroyed the cultural and governmental identities that had been there previous. It left a power vacuum, and because they were so violent, the power vacuum that was left was equally violent. And that's how this shit works. Violence always begets more violence. At least that's my opinion. This humble history student's opinion. Let's see. Yeah, I just really wanted to highlight that because they really work well together. They highlight each other. It's some rough stuff. All right, so we've gone through all of these classical placements. Let's move on to oppositions and returns. So the first Pluto opposition is on March 19th, 1613. That would be exact. But we don't need to look at the exact date, because Pluto is going to be in that same degree, in that same minute, or at least in that same degree for like the better part of a year. So we can just look at what was going on in the year. In Taurus, you're looking at matters of the economy. So I found really interesting, something really fun. I found out in 1613, Antonio Serra was born. Antonio Serra was really considered the first economist. It's really, really interesting. There's not much known about him, but he was a guy who spent his youth really trying to advance social causes. And he really just wanted to solve the social and economic problems that was created by the Spanish viceroy system. And in 1613, he was jailed, probably because he was conspiring against the viceroyship. So parts of Italy were under viceroyship control. And, you know, he was part of a plot that was going to try and overthrow that in southern Italy. And they caught him and they threw him in jail. But while he was in jail, he wrote this really important treatise where he analyzed the causes and the shortage of coin, specifically in the Kingdom of Naples, and the factors that could have reversed that economic trend. He was the first person to analyze and fully understand the concept of balance of trade for both visible goods and invisible services and capital movements. He explained how the shortage of coin in the Kingdom of Naples was due to the balance of payments deficit. Using his findings, he was able to reject the popular idea at the time that scarcity in money was due to the exchange rate. The solution to the problem was found in active encouragement of exports, basically kind of like laying the groundwork for mercantilism, which is the predecessor for free trade. And the Spanish, like I mentioned before, wasn't really trying to trade with the other nations. They were perfectly content with trading within themselves. And they had there was a really strong ripple effect throughout the world. There was like an inflation in silver, or there was just an inflation. Not only did the Spanish have an excess of silver, which made things more expensive for the peasant class during the time, but because they weren't trading with the rest of the world, the rest of the world somehow also experienced, like, I'm not an economist, let's just lay it down out there. I like reading about economics because it's another thing that explains human behavior just on a mass scale, but I'm not, I didn't take an economics class in college. I took history classes. So it's just kind of interesting. I personally adore that when Pluto was in opposition to its natal placement in the sign of Taurus, which is a sign of economic ideas, this book about the failures of Spanish economic policy was published. I think that fits. So I'm going to move on to the Pluto return, which was exact on November 22nd, 1738. But again, we're looking at the year, not the date. So in March of that year, Great Britain votes to go to war with Spain. And then 3 months later, the viceroyalty of Nuevo Granada was reestablished. Those two things are interesting just because it's, you know, there's like a new Granada that the Spanish are trying to protect or defend or take back. That takes place during their Pluto return. And I think that's like a little wink and a nod from the universe, in my opinion. That war that Britain declared on Spain was due to the fact that the Spanish weren't trading with the rest of the world, and they didn't like that. And it was weird to read about how, like, part of the trade that Great Britain was upset and not having access to was the trade of slaves, the trade of people, like cattle. Being like seeing people on the same documents as like cattle and goods and hides and stuff like that is not pleasant, man. Like, straight up, not something I recommend. You can just listen to me live vicariously through my horror of doing that if you really want to. I don't know. Do your thing. But I'm just saying, I didn't find it to be a very pleasant experience. So there was this war over trade happened in Nuevo Granada, and it lasted about 10 years. Pretty much, it lasted almost the entirety of Pluto transit through Scorpio, because Pluto is only transiting through Scorpio for 13 years. And by the end of it, it was kind of a draw, more or less, though the Spanish were seen to have won it because they hadn't been on equal footing in terms of a strong navy as the English had, but were still able to defend their holdings. Then the Spanish Empire experienced one more opposition, which was exact on March 28th of 1857 in Taurus. I'm going to be real with this one. I couldn't really find a whole lot of strong correlations of how to relate this to the historical record. The whole 1800s was most of 1800 was very Plutonian for the Spanish Empire. But I couldn't find an exact correlation with that year beyond the New Mexico, not New Mexico, but like newly created Mexico, newly liberated Mexico, finalized their constitution and independence from Spain. And Mexico was the main source of silver for the Spanish Empire. So the fact that in that year, Mexico finalizes, because the wars for independence had technically stopped in 1821, so about 25 years previous, there were still like attempts from the Spanish Empire to get at different ports and at different locations within the Mexican territory. None were successful, and then in 1857, finally, Mexico was able to be like, nope, this is how we get our army, this is our political and geographic extent, and all of the silver is ours, not Spain. So you do see that correlation between the opposition of Pluto and opposition in Taurus. It's interesting because for this one, it seems like the oppositions ended up being much more destructive than the returns. Versus last week with the Ottoman Empire, the oppositions were much more constructive and the returns were much more destructive. So, and now here, the returns are at least less destructive and the oppositions are very much destructive. So that's just an interesting little thing. It's definitely, you still see the Plutonian processes, but different sides of it. Which is honestly really fun. That's why, like, using astrology as the main conceit by which we study history is, I don't know, just, it's fun. It's cool. I really enjoy it. I hope you enjoy it. I hope you also get like a different perspective on the historical record by listening to this than you would if you were just focusing on the Spanish economy or just on Spanish art or Spanish architecture. I hope that this provides a more holistic view on what an empire or a nation was. So, for the entirety of the 1800s, the Spanish economy, everything was just really, really falling apart until you're looking at the turn of the 20th century or around the end of the 19th century, where you finally see more development happening in the rural areas of Spain. But because of consistent uprisings and squashing of revolts, it didn't really start happening until the 20th century. And in the 20th century, you see fascism start to take hold in Europe broadly and in Spain in different ways, mostly able to fight fascism off, but I would imagine that that's kind of easy when you already have a monarchy going on. But I don't know. And then the empire finally released their final holdings in 1979. They were no longer considered an empire, but honestly, in terms of their power on the world stage, greatly receded by the mid-1800s. That's all I've got for you guys today. I hope you enjoyed this. I hope you pass this along to other astrology nerds. Yeah, but more than anything, I hope that you like this. At the end of the day, that's all I hope. All right, so let's see. You can find this podcast on Twitter. It's at Pluto and the Mundane, or Mundane Pluto. And I am on Instagram. It's witchy_woven. Yeah, that's my Instagram handle. And I do personal readings there as well. So if you're interested in getting one of those from me, astrology ones. And if you're interested in getting those from me, DM me there. If not, just say hi. If you have any questions, shoot them. And let's see, and on Twitch on Sunday nights, I live record these podcasts. My handle on Twitch is AstroSeeker. And that's it. Those are my pluggables. All right. Thanks so much, you guys. Thanks for listening. And for the people who are watching, thanks for watching. Okay.